The U.S. Supreme Court just heard arguments on another corporate rights case, the Hobby Lobby, which says providing birth control to employees is against its religion. Where's all this leading? Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Over and over again, callers to this program have blamed corporate personhood for all sorts of things, especially the quality of our elected officials. Well, okay, let's talk about it. Toll-free 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call on Anchorage at 550-8422, or email talk@alaskapublic.org. Corporate rights are the subject today on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
Providence Imaging Center with Drs. Scott Nespinski and Christopher Reed, providing interpretations of imaging studies with a focus on musculoskeletal radiology. provimaging.com.
And by
ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Get away and stay in AK at UAS Juneau. Small enough that your professors know you by name, big enough for a vibrant campus community with a new residence hall opening fall of 2014. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska Southeast. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, one thing about this state is that if we would ever get united about something, the place is so new and so small, even though it's big, that we could actually accomplish some innovative things and break some new ground. But often what happens instead is we simply end up being kind of placed in other people's molds. It's kind of a colony here. The supply lines stretch pretty far. And the ideas, very often the ideas, are even recycled for someplace else. But we do have our thinkers and our people who try and get things done. And we got a couple of them who have accomplished things this time as your panel to discuss the issue of corporate personhood. I guess first we'll start with John Havelock, law professor, former Alaska Attorney General, former political candidate and author of the recent book, Let's Get It Right, why we need an Alaska Constitutional Convention, because every 10 years we get to vote on that. And so I had John Havelock on this show to talk about the possible reforms we could accomplish if we were to modernize our Constitution. And the voters, John Havelock, they didn't think too much of that.
Well, my old friend Vic Fisher did a pretty good job of reaffirming the virtues of a Constitution as it is. And the dangers of a constitutional convention, which I don't share that view, but his view was that, and indeed, people on the right are worried that it will be taken over by left-wing fanatics, and the people more to the left think that it's going to be a bunch of right-wingers going to take over. So the consequence, everybody is scared to death of a convention.
One thing you said we might be able to accomplish is, quote, get corporations out of our elections.
Yes, at least to some degree. I mean, what we're going to be talking about today is mostly the case of Citizens United, which a Supreme Court case reversing a line of precedent has said that corporations have essentially the rights of free speech with some limitations. I think the decision was naive. It was a 5-4, of course, and there's always a swing guy in the middle, and he wrote the opinion, and some of it is very naive indeed. And I'm reminded, or I look back at the time when the constitutional provision was adopted, you know, the provision that we're going to be talking about, the U.S. Constitution, is reflected also in Alaska's Constitution, that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. And when I think of that, you know, back in that time, the whole United States was the population of one of our mid-sized states, you know, about 10 million people total. And Anchorage would be a huge city. I don't think New York was as big as Anchorage is now. And the politics of the time, there were newspapers and so on, but what we call media didn't exist. So it, and since then we've had this enormous growth of media, of the professionalization of politics. You knew your politicians back then. You didn't have 700,000 people electing a congressman. It was just a handful, you know, under 50,000. So it'd be like an election here to the House. And so so you knew your candidates, and the flow of ideas came straight from the candidate. There were no media managers. There was no shaping of the message. There are no professional people that are controlling the message, which it is now. I mean, the candidate just sits back there and does what he's told.
Yeah. And so we're in a situation now with Citizens United, as I understand it, which allows a corporation to spend unlimited amounts of money so long as it's not directly tied to a candidate.
But that's correct, yeah.
They could campaign against them all day long.
They have free speech, and there's no limit to the amount of money that can be spent on what they call the super PACs. There's been an explosion, of course, since the Citizens United case came down. We've gone from a handful to, I don't know, it's over 1,000 by now, but last time I looked, it was over 800 and something of these things that are out there just spending money. And of course, the public is somewhat aware of these, the expenditures come through the Koch brothers and others, and the two presidential campaigns in the last time round, two candidates were supported entirely by PACs, supported by particular millionaires.
Wow.
So
somehow that does seem to that seems to get way beyond any intent of anybody trying to write a constitution. Yeah. And there we sit.
Yeah, it is a problem. And in Citizens United, there is a line by Justice Kennedy, who wrote the decision. He says, well, anything that's wrong here, you know, there are any problematic, can be fixed through corporate democracy. I've had some experience in this area. You know, there's an old saying, corporate democracy is to democracy as martial music is to music. But the democratic controls of corporations are set by state legislatures. That is, I think that's sort of forgotten to some extent, a considerable extent, in Citizens United, is that corporations are a creation of states under state law.
Well, as I understand it, Justice Kennedy said, I'm not saying you can't require them to disclose.
Right. No, disclosure is, that's the big opening.
But we do have a situation where they don't have to disclose right now.
That's right. There is one category of corporations that does not have to. I think that's the super PACs.
We're kind of really screwed on that, and it would be nice if there would be legislation on that, but I don't see anything happening on that front.
the proposal that I make is picking him up on his corporate democracy idea, is that the state should pass laws that require that any corporation that's going to spend money to influence the outcome of an election should have a vote of its shareholders on that subject. And if the shareholders approve, okay. And if it passes, then the minority shareholders should have a right to take their part of that money in dividends. And I think that would be constitutional under Citizens United. And it wouldn't block all the holes in this thing, but it would certainly put a crimp in some of it.
You always have the ideas, John. I'm thinking about the corporation, the shareholders wondering about, well, would we have to liquidate if there was 30%, we had to buy them all out? Like, it's just crazy. I want to turn at this moment to the other member of the panel, which is Gershon Cohen of We the People Alaska. And Gershon's voice has been heard on this program before on the issue of the cruise ship initiative, which indeed Alaskans did pass. So Gershon, you have a track record. Here you are a potter. Here you are a potter and citizen activist that actually activated and got something done through the initiative process, through sort of tireless campaigning and being willing to negotiate. And now you're taking on this corporate personhood thing. But this is, I've heard about this for years. The decision was 2010, right, by the Supreme Court. And we have seen a vigorous movement called Move to Amend. But this is not what you're doing. This, you're not looking to try and amend the Constitution. You're trying to go the local, regional, state.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on the program. I think the first comment that I would make is that, you know, whereas Citizens United certainly has had a huge impact on this, and the Speech Now case that followed it, which is the one that actually brought us to the Super PAC era, what's important to recognize is that these are not isolated cases, isolated decisions by the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court for many years in many cases has been transferring more and more rights that were intended for natural human beings, individual human beings, to artificial persons and artificial entities such as corporations and unions, associations, et cetera. And so, you know, when I've looked at, as I look at this issue and as the people that I'm working with look at this issue, we certainly recognize the problems with Citizens United and Speech Now, but also because we are aware of the history of this, you know, talking about the Bilotti case in 1978, that was a free speech issue for corporations. And going back from there, you know, you can go back all the way to 1886 when the dam first started to crack open with the 14th Amendment being transferred to corporations in the Santa Clara case.
And that's equal protection.
Equal protection under the law, correct, 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And so, you know, when you look at this as from a more historical perspective, to us, the question is not so much about campaign finance reform, although we certainly agree that has to happen because that is certainly a very huge problem. The real problem to us is that they have constitutional rights, because if they didn't have a right to free speech as a corporation, and mind you, the people in the corporation would still have their constitutional right to free speech as individuals. But if their corporation in and of itself, which is a piece of property, right, it's something that you and I could buy and sell and trade, the fact that that corporation has constitutional rights really tips the balance in their favor tremendously. And so the ability of people to control society has been radically diminished.
Yes.
And so when we're looking at this situation, our point of view is what we really need to do is get to this issue of rights, as who's supposed to have rights or what is supposed to have rights under the Constitution.
So you just want to remove the personhood rights by whatever means.
Well, yeah, we believe that John talks about a constitutional convention.
Well, you already have the whole line of court precedents you just told me. So how are you going to all of a sudden yank the rug out from under?
Well, that's a good question. There's this concept known as settled law, right? And then so that's what you're referring to, that we've already had decisions, therefore this is where we are. Well, if that was really true, I think we would still have segregated schools in America, because at one point that was, well, some things take longer than other things. But the point is, the Supreme Court can decide one way on a case and they can change their course. And they've done it many times throughout our history.
So in this case, we had a close decision and you're saying they should just reverse themselves.
I think that they should. I think that if enough cases are brought and the correct cases are brought, and frankly, I believe that the Supreme Court is susceptible to where they believe society is and where society wants the country to go. And I would hope that would be the case, actually, because the Constitution is supposed to be a living document that is supposed to change with us over time. If that is the case, then the Supreme Court could make decisions that go the other way. And they could say, you know, this actually isn't the correct answer to this question. The corporations shouldn't have constitutional rights. They can have privileges. And I want to be very clear that we're not against the existence of corporations. We're not against the fact that corporations can make a profit and they can operate. What we are against is that what they do has been determined to be a right, which is inalienable, which we have not given to us by the government, but they are acknowledged by the government. Whereas a privilege is something that we, the people, through our representatives, give to the corporations,
right,
so they can operate.
But how do we get from here to there?
Well, I think
John Havelock just gave us a plan.
Okay. I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to, aside from making sure people understand this, I think we need to elect folks to our legislature who understand the distinction between right and privilege. And we need to clearly state that the word person, as it is used in the Constitution and in our laws, refers to an individual human being, or people refers to human beings. And we don't need to change the Constitution to do that. We could adopt a statute that defines the word person as it is used in the Constitution. So, you know, because our Constitution doesn't have a set of definitions at the end like many of our laws do, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, our laws say, you know, at the end of a law, at the end of one of our statutes, it'll say, here are the definitions for this statute, and it'll have a person listed. And under the definition of person, it will say, includes corporations and unions and associations. I think we need to tease that out. I think we need to say, this is what a person is, and then have another definition that says, this is what an artificial person is. And then if we want that statute to apply the same way to both, well, then fine. That's what we decide as a society. If we don't, then we have to have the ability to do that, because what the corporations do, again, should be done as privilege, not as right.
But you want to do this through local government then? You already are doing it through local.
Well, Haynes,
now you're expanding this statewide and candidates and trying to get candidates to sign this pledge.
That's correct. What we did, in October in Haynes, the original group, I guess you could say, of this what is now a coalition from 11 communities, is We the People Haynes passed an amendment to our charter, which is essentially our local constitution, and we very easily passed in our local election the following statement that is now included in the charter for the borough of Haynes. It says, we, the people of the Haynes borough, believe the rights set out in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska, like those in this charter, are guaranteed only to individual human beings and do not apply to artificial entities. And so, you know, we passed this and we sat around and said, you know, this was very well accepted by a broad range of people in our community from all political ideologies and parties. And so we decided to expand it. And we now have We the People Alaska chapters in 11 communities around the state, Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, Kenai, Matsu, Gustavus, Nome, Haynes, and the purpose of getting together, what we're going to try to do is we have a document that's called the Alaska Constitution Pledge. And the pledge, which I can read to you here, basically says, therefore I hereby pledge to support the true intent of the Alaska Constitution, whereby inalienable rights are to be enjoyed solely by individual human beings, and I will support the amendment of existing Alaska laws to clarify that the term person means only an individual human being.
All right. Now, John Havelock, are you ready to sign up yet?
Here's the notion. I support Gershon's sentiment, and I don't see any harm in adopting this worthy sentiment, as it were. In fact, since the Citizens United case came down, the polling has shown that 75% of Republicans and 85% of Democrats are opposed to Citizens United and support making some kind of a change. So this is a problem that everybody understands is a problem. But I would say, amiable sentiment does not change law. And the concept of a corporation as having a personhood is deeply embedded in the law going back to the 19th century, shortly after corporations became a major part of our features. They're in the criminal law, for example. You're taking them out of there. It would require an enormous range of amendments. And as the court had pointed out, there's a special problem, of course, with corporations that, such as the one that you work for here, and corporations that control newspapers and so on. Are they going to be subject to the same sort of restrictions? So, and I would also say that The problem is with the election process. It's not with corporations per se. It's not just about corporations. As Gershon was commenting, there's a line of cases that go back a little bit that which were the things that the five members majority supported or relied on, the biggest of which is Buckley against Vallejo. And Buckley was a man with an enormous amount of money, and he just bought his way into the Senate seat in New York. Now, and this is true now. We've got all, particularly since in the last decade or two, we've got a land made up of billionaires and others that we've got a real problem with this simply buying elections, with particularly because we do have, as I said earlier, this huge intermediate set of message management between a candidate and the citizen, and the fact that the citizen doesn't know the candidate. We're very lucky here in Alaska, incidentally, that so many of us know candidates and can make decisions based on that.
I was thinking the very same thing. Yes.
Yeah. So. So I guess I don't, you know, I don't think we can, I think that's the issue that we need to address.
Yeah, and changing, so in your view, changing a definition to make it clear, it was, what did you say, honorary, or what was the word?
No, the privileges are not equal to rights.
Privileges, this would be new law, as far as you're concerned.
New law, and it would be extremely messy. It's a lawyer's employment proposal.
Oh, boy. Well,
I don't know if I would want to comment to that, but I would agree with John that I'm not saying that changing, you know, this aspect of all of our laws is going to necessarily be, you know, it's not going to be something we're going to do overnight. You know, with a stroke of one pen, we'll probably use up a few pens in the process. But I think that it's necessary because, you know, again, if we don't, if you believe that they have the right to free speech, then trying to control that free speech becomes very, very challenging. And so we really, I think, have to get down to the rights, because that's what underlies this ability to spend all the money. And of course, again, I know we're talking about CU and we're talking about elections, and I think that's great. There are other rights as well that are abused by this notion that other than individual human beings should have constitutional rights. So, but it's another show.
Telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, and email address is talk@alaskapublic.org. And if you're listening to this program in Anchorage, you need to make a local call at 550-8422. And we're open for your discussion of this. We had a number of callers who have wanted to bring this up over and over again and said, this is the real root of our problem. So now we've got two people who have thought about this a good deal and have taken positions on this, and we're very interested in what you have to say about this issue of corporate personhood. Beverly chimes in by email saying, I have a comment regarding the subject on another talk show, Left, Right, Center. Someone gave the opinion that all this alarmist talk about corporate personhood and corporate rights is unfounded. He gave the example of the decision Citizens United. He stated that we have not found corporations spending lots of money on political campaigns. However, my understanding is that indeed corporations have been pouring millions of dollars into political persuasion, but in a veiled and untraceable way through giving to PACs and trade associations. I hope you could speak to this on the program. Thank you. Well, that person was making a false assertion. How's that? That statement is inoperative.
Yeah. Well, it may be sort of dated, you might say, because with the super PACs coming in, where you can't even track the origin of the money, that it's become much of a problem. And in this coming election, it'll be in the low billions will be spent on this through this kind of mechanism.
Well, we're seeing right now in Alaska, I mean, colossal amounts of money are going to be spent on trying to keep Mark Begich in the Senate or get Mark Begich out of the Senate.
Right.
You know, colossal amounts of money.
Yes.
Even before the primary, we're getting all this money. We don't even know who the candidate is yet.
Right. I think one of the really troubling aspects of this is that because of Citizens United, it's not even restricted to U.S. money and U.S. giving. You could literally have a corporation or a country other than America controlling our elections by the amount of money they can put into an election. And that's really...
We need a Supreme Court decision on that one, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a you know, the only hope that I'm seeing is that, you know, there was a case that was decided in April 2013. There are judges, there are courts that are finding in the other direction. I mean, again, you know, as you say,
many
a 5-4.
A number of local governments are too.
Yes. Yeah.
So is this just a state movement, or is this like move to amend where there's people doing this in other places?
There are people doing not quite what we're doing, but there are people working on this issue from a number of different perspectives. I mean, move to amend is interested in a constitutional amendment. The free speech folks inside the Beltway in D.C. are looking at this as a campaign finance issue. You know, Public Citizen is very involved. There are a lot of people working on this, the general issue, and I think that's great. I mean, it's wonderful to have every, you know, the more people we've got in there, the more we're all going to be talking about it, and people are going to know that it's going on.
So you're going to go back to Haines. You're going to go down Lynn Canal and go into Juneau and try and get state legislators to sign this pledge?
Well, that's why we have chapters all over, you know, cropping up all over the state. Now we have 11 chapters around the state, and we're soon to have a few more. And one of the goals for those chapters will be to ask their candidates in their districts whether or not they support the pledge. And they're going to go on record. We have a website. Everybody's going to be listed. And so the public will be able to see what their candidates think about this issue. And if it's an important issue to them, they can vote based on that issue.
What if they just don't want to sign it?
If they don't sign it, then they're not supportive.
You're trying to stick me out on a limb.
Well, then that's the choice that they're going to make. They're either going to say they support it or they don't. And if they're silent,
they don't. So it's a no, basically. If they don't sign the thing, you're going to put them down as they're for corporate personhood.
Well, it's unfortunate. Fortunately for them, perhaps, if that's the way they want to look at it, that's the way it'll be, because it's really so fundamental of a problem that we feel that this is a time when you've got to give an answer. We're not going to let them not answer the question.
So we the people then, yeah, is exercising free speech, right?
Exercising our constitutional right to free speech, and we're going to publish this information. And then, you know, look, if people feel like their legislative race shouldn't be about this, then it won't influence their votes. But if this is a big concern to them about where their legislators may, what decisions they may make down the road, then this is something that could influence their vote.
If I was a campaign manager for any candidate, I'd say, oh, go ahead and sign it. It doesn't commit you to do anything when you get down there and looking at specific legislation. Sorry to be so
it's
cynical,
true.
But...
Well, no, John, it's true to a point, but it does put you on record, and then your constituents can come back to you and say, hey, this is what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the history of the court decisions and how much of a real precedent there is. John Havelock, would you agree, as the opponents of corporate personhood say, that the root is the Santa Clara decision, really?
Well, for me, the root is Buckley against Valeo, which said that
this
it's
came later.
There's no problem at all with anybody spending all the money they have, and sort of including corporations in that umbrella was a not much of a switch in some ways. I mean, in some ways it was, in the sense that it sort of caught on in Washington and then around the states as well. Look at this opportunity through super PACs. So it's just been sort of a growing problem. The real root philosophical problem, in a way, is that the sense that there are absolutes in the Constitution. So the... And free speech is a great one, but we give way on free speech for obscenity, for libel, for a lot of things. Our equal opportunity rights to elect representatives is a terribly important right, and I think in balancing that sometimes against free speech, we need to assure this preservation of democracy comes first.
Let's go to, I'll get to you. I know you want to chime in, Gershon, but let's try a caller. Kevin joins the program from Chugiak. Welcome. Talk of Alaska, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
How you doing?
Good. I had a question that sort of is a chance for the guest to sort of spell out the differences between their positions. As I understand it, John Havelock is mostly concerned about the Citizens United and the campaign contributions, while Gershon is more concerned about the broader issue of corporate personhood. And I wanted him to sort of explain in a little more detail what are the problems that he sees in areas other than campaign finance. What are the broader issues that corporate personhood...
So is that, you want to talk to John or Gershon?
Well, it's a question. It's a chance for Gershon to explain what are the broader problems, and then if John wants to chime in, that's fine.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Kevin, for the question. Here's a perfect example. On the East Coast, it's not a huge issue for us in Alaska at this moment, but it could certainly get there. The fracking issue, okay, where the pumping of chemicals into the ground to drive out natural gas. The companies that are doing this don't want to tell the communities or the government what they're pumping into the ground, even though everyone knows that what they're pumping into the ground is showing up in people's water wells. And so, that's a level of secrecy that they believe that they have because they have Fourth Amendment protections. And
so Fourth Amendment?
Against search and seizure.
Search and seizure,
yeah.
Okay.
So it allows you to keep these things private, basically. And
no,
and,
I'm thinking if they took the Fifth, that would be interesting.
Well, and they take the Fifth all the time.
Oh,
we can
God,
get to
yeah.
that. But, so here was a decision.
So that's like admitting that they're poisoning people, but we don't have to tell you.
In 2013, there was a case where a fracking company paid a family $750,000 in a settlement because they had clearly felt that they had damaged these people in some way. And they felt that this should seal the case so that no one would know what happened.
Well, that's what settlements usually do.
That's what settlements usually do. Well, the judge decided that there was such an overwhelming need for the rest of the community to know, my gosh, what did they put into these people's well? And is this affecting other families, et cetera? And should the government know? And the judge in Pennsylvania, the headline is, Pennsylvania court deals blow to secrecy, secrecy-obsessed fracking industry corporations not the same as persons with privacy rights. And she wrote very eloquently about this. Just read a quote from the decision. She said, "There are no men or women defendants in the instant case. They are various business entities. Business entities are created by the state and subject to laws, unlike people with natural rights. In the absence of state law, business entities are nothing. If businesses had natural rights like people, the chattel would become the co-equal to its owners, the servant on par with its masters, the agent the peer of its principals, and the legal fabrications superior to the law that created and sustains it." And this speaks directly to John's point earlier that the state creates corporations. You apply, you pay your money, you fill out your paperwork, and you become a corporation, but you are agreeing to follow the laws.
There is a struggle all across the country to get disclosure, and governments are trying to get disclosure of these fracking chemicals. So I know this is substantial.
It's
beautiful. It's a beautiful opinion there. And this business of natural rights, that goes all the way back to the Enlightenment, really. And the corporation, it's a creature of the state. It's chartered by the state. Also very interesting. Kevin, is there more?
No, I appreciate that expansion.
All right, Kevin and Chugiak, thank you very much for your call. Telephone number 1-800-478-8255. We're discussing corporate personhood. The listeners wanted to talk about this one, so we're talking about it, and your call is welcome. Email is talk@alaskapublic.org. talk@alaskapublic.org as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
Alaska Premier Dental Group, offering dental innovations from implants and Invisalign with 3 offices, 2 in Anchorage and 1 in Wasilla. Description of services at smilealaska.com. Join business, civic, and government leaders from across Alaska and the nation for the 2014 Business of Clean Energy in Alaska Conference, May 1st and 2nd at the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage. Learn how Alaska can become a world leader in this fast-growing industry. Early registration ends March 28th. More information at bceaconference.com or 929-7770. Clean energy, it's everyone's business. This message sponsored by REAP.
Well, so far in the program, we find that we all agree that there's a lot of big money in politics, and it keeps the little ordinary person from having hopes of getting elected to much of anything. The question now seems to be, to what degree is corporate personhood responsible for such a thing? And if corporate personhood is a problem, which many see it in one way or another as a problem, what in the world do you do about it? And we have with us former Alaska Attorney General John Havelock and Gershon Cohen of We the People Alaska. You're free to go to the website of We the People Alaska. Where is it? What is it called?
WeThePeopleAlaska.org.
And what, people can sign up and take a look at the pledge and all that?
Yeah, we have a lot of information on there. We're going to be listing the candidates as they declare for office. We're going to be listing their names and whether or not they support or do not support the pledge.
So if you don't hear from them, they don't support it, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, that's, well, and we will be, we'll make it easy for them. We'll call.
You'll be able to good faith after you attempt to contact before assuming in action.
That's correct.
Well, all right. Are you aiming this at the general, the primary, or?
Both, actually. The primary, of course, is going to determine a lot of who gets, it's going to determine who moves on to the general. Uh-huh. So it's going to be an important issue in both elections. Yeah.
All right. I guess the thing I would put to the listeners as a question is, would this be enough to sway your vote in any way, shape, or form? Because I'm having a hard time imagining that it would sway my vote. You know, but I don't know. Maybe
wouldn't you like
talk
to know,
me into
Steve?
It, buddy.
I'll do my best, Steve. Wouldn't it matter to you? Let me put it to you this way: we've had a legislature for years that has spent an amazing amount of time debating oil tax issues. Not only the amount of time, but think of the money, think of the resources that have gone into that at the state level to discuss
this
issue.
It could be argued that the oil and gas industry and the support industry and the parasites off the oil and gas industry essentially have bought the Senate. That could be argued that happened.
It could be argued. And so, you look at all the problems and all the issues that we have to deal with here in the state. Let's say your big issue is education, or your big issue is how we treat the elderly. Are we giving enough time in our 90-day legislative session to really deal with these issues, or are they so wrapped up in their discussions of oil tax reform because of the lobbying, because of all the money, et cetera, that's pushing the legislature that's there now to talk about these things? It's detracting from their ability to actually deal with other things like our infrastructure, our education, et cetera. So it really does affect all of us. For any issue that might be important to you, the fact that there is so much influence in politics from artificial persons is really just the fundamental problem below every other problem that we face.
But it's not the artificial persons. It's the money. Follow the money, as they say. That's the problem. And I am concerned about biting off too much when the real problem is money in elections. That's the problem, and where we should be keeping the focus.
1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And email is talk@alaskapublic.org. Corporate personhood is the subject. And this one from June. This bumper sticker describes my view of the issue. I'll believe corporations are persons when Texas executes one. I like that one, too. So I don't know. I'm just not convinced, I guess, that the corporate personhood is the real root of the problem. I mean, it just seems to be money. Money would find some way, regardless of whether it was that way or some other way, it seems like.
Well, the money finds its way because of the way that, the folks that are putting all the money in elections are not breaking the law. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
And so their ability to put the money into the elections is because they control what laws are being passed. And so when you control the, if you can control the personhood rights and you therefore can control the money, because you can say this is a privilege to you, you can do this or you can't do that, then you can get the money out of the politics and you can't otherwise. You know, I watched a, there was a TED talk I saw recently.
Well, you can still have personhood.
Well, that's true. Individual people, and we can still talk about what kind of restrictions we want. But, you know, I watched it.
But that is, right? In Alaska, there's a state law, right? I can only give so much to a given candidate, period.
Directly.
Yeah. Right, uh-huh. That's right. But indirectly, you can do
but
more.
But that would be through one of these entities, right? And if you made the entity wasn't a person or didn't have that free speech right?
It's, you could okay. still
I'm
do
just
it
trying
as
to
an
think
individual.
This through.
There's nothing to stop me from putting a couple of $1 million into doing my own personal ads. That's why, among other things, we really need to strengthen the,
I see. So long as it's negative or it's some general message about how great salmon are or something like that.
As much
money as you want.
It can be much more explicit than that.
Uh-huh.
But you know, who is the person behind the message? And we do not have strong enough disclosure laws at the moment. I mean, you look at these ads and it's sort of a zip at the bottom where you see the big three oil companies there. You know, I can't read that fast. I know why they're there, but I can't read it because it's so fast. So laws that require exposure definitely need to be strengthened, and that's part of it, because I think the average citizen, when he sees that this big ad is coming from, you know, Mobil Oil or Exxon or whoever, then they take that into consideration with respect to the message.
Let me try to tie those two together.
All
here.
Right.
Okay. We talk about individuals giving lots of money, and there are individuals who do give lots of money. And we're talking about corporations that give lots of money, and there are obviously a lot of those too. I think part of the problem in this discussion here is that someone who made their living shining shoes in the airport is not the person we're talking about. We're not talking about the person who owns, we're not talking about a corporation that owns a bookstore. We're not talking about a supermarket. We're talking about the really, really big corporations or the individuals who made so much money to be able to give into elections because of their corporate advantages. Because we can't forget that with limited liability and the tax advantages that corporations have, they can amass capital in a way that you or I basically cannot do. And so you can say, well, yeah, this is, you know, Steve Heimel, he's a billionaire, and he's going to give, you know, half of his $1 billion to certain causes or certain candidates in elections. Well, Steve, where did you get the money? You know, like I say, you weren't shining shoes at SeaTac, right? So it's a bit of a gray area there when you're talking about the individual money versus the corporate money. But to go back to John's original point of the corporations being a creature of the state, being a legal creation, you know, part of the deal is that if you're going to get the tax advantages of being a corporation and limited liability, then you are acknowledging that you should have to follow the other laws.
Hmm.
Hey, I like that idea of Steve Heimel billionaire.
Me too. I would probably give it away. Just a good hunk of it. I mean, sure. I got a lot of causes I believe in. Yeah. Well, so what constitutes success here, Gershon, for we the people of Alaska?
What constitutes success for us is in this primary and in this next general election is having this issue be a front and center issue along with education and along with oil tax reform or whatever, you know, to have this be a prominent issue so that the people of the state really understand the issues out there and so that they start to make choices based on this issue when they look at their candidates. And then we go from there. And, you know, if we, you know, as I said before, if we get to a point where we really do have a lot of support in the legislature, then we can think about, you know, one at a time taking on these issues in terms of defining person and defining the difference between privilege and right. And we can start to clean up this mess, because is it messy? Yes. Is it going to take a lot of work? Yes. But it has to be done.
Well, I suppose you could have, if they had a majority, you could probably have, you know, three or four key people in the legislature that started pushing this. It could actually happen.
I think it could.
Yeah. Let's go to Frank, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Frank.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for having this subject on, because it's close to my heart. I wanted to kind of think about the additional rights in that corporations get, corporate persons get, in addition to free speech. You know, that unlawful search and seizure thing. I've worked in the oil field, and if somebody got hurt, then OSHA wouldn't be able to come in. They'd have a long time. They'd have to get a court order to come in before they could, you know, they'd have the blood all mopped up.
Yeah.
And I've seen, yeah, so, and in discrimination, you know. I don't want Walmart to move into my neighborhood, I'm discriminating against poor little Walmart. This new thing, religious freedom, that's really getting to me, because it seems like there's a veil where the information individual members or shareholders can express their religious views through the corporation, and there's no pushback. There's the veil. It's like a one-way veil, and then they're protected on the other side of it.
Yeah, it seems, as I understand it, maybe I don't have Hobby Lobby entirely right, but it's my understanding they want to have this policy with regards to the benefits of their employees, regardless of the religious beliefs of their employees. So in
right.
essence, they want to impose their religious views on the ways of their or someone is in a contractual relationship. That doesn't seem right at all.
No, but it seems like this is the danger.
Uh-huh.
I saw a really good cartoon about corporations being having the rights of people, and they were starting to carry the people up, and the corporations were throwing them into the sacrifice them into the big pit. It looked like a Mayan thing where they were throwing the common employees into the pit in the name of big money, sacrificing them to the god of big money.
Well, it's just a modest proposal. Don't take it seriously.
Anyway, I'm really thankful that people are doing this work and bringing it to the forefront, especially today on Election Day.
All right. Well, thank you. That was almost a coincidence, Frank, because in no way is it an issue in anything involving the school district or the bond issues or the municipal assembly that I can think of, or I wouldn't have done it, you know, because this would just be electioneering. But to speak on Election Day of issues of democracy and civics, I think is thoroughly appropriate.
Even on April Fool's.
Even and especially on April Fool's as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank Alaska, who believes that success isn't simply having an idea, it is knowing the right lender to help bring it to life. More at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Join Alaska bars and restaurants from every corner of the state in taking a stand against secondhand smoke. The fact of the matter is, no Alaskan, employee, or customer should suffer the heart disease and lung cancer due to secondhand smoke. The benefits are undeniably positive for Alaskans and for the bottom line. Clean indoor air. It's good for health and it's great for business. For more information on smoke-free workplaces, visit alaskatca.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance.
We're talking about corporate personhood, which is veering over into corporate influence and big money influence in the political process. And in that vein, what gets Ann going here, who came in by email, is redistricting funded by big business to get a lock on legislatures and governorships. It worked in Alaska. We have less representation in the bush than the oil companies and Pebble Mine. Phooey, says Ann. Wow, redistricting. Let's go to Chris, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And a wonderful conversation, too. Hi to Dr. Gershon Cohen and the guests, too. It's easy to diagram the problems, it seems to me, and this has been going on since the 19th century. You know, a philosopher named, I hate to say it, but, you know, people will put their defenses up. Marx diagrammed this, you know, in conflict theories. C. Mills Wright diagrammed how the power in the power elite, how power wants to control everything, and they consolidate their power, and then they control the knowledge and the beliefs that people have. But it's easy to diagram these things. What about solutions? And what is a good solution that doesn't use the same tools that are being used by the people in power? Because it seems to me if you use those same tools, then you're setting yourself up to become the same type of entity.
Yeah, well, there is the right to peaceably assemble, petition for the redress of grievances, and that is powerful, I think.
Sure, sure, for incremental change, and that's good. I guess now that I'm calmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
We've got...
It's C. Wright Mills, by the way.
Yeah, sorry about it.
That's all right. I knew you were nervous.
Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, and I still am. It seems to me that getting people to actually believe that change can happen, to buy into change, to buy into investing in at the community level, to fighting these big corporate entities, that seems to be one of the things we have to get to.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, Chris, persistence, and I think Gershon would echo this. I don't think it's been a 100% victory on the cruise ship initiative, right, that you guys pushed. I mean, it's a work in progress, still
yep,
is.
Absolutely.
But you did to get somewhere. They're a little bit more discreet about where they dump.
Oh, no, a lot of the rules actually are still in place. I'm not happy about some of the changes in recent years, but most of the initiative is still in place.
And it was persistence.
And it was persistence, yeah.
How many years now?
Well, I was working on that issue for about 12 years.
Yeah. So there you are, Chris.
Yeah, persistence is a good thing. I think getting people, especially people in the middle classes, to believe that, hey, stop chasing that carrot on the stick. You're not going to be one of them. You've been sold out. Let's find other ways to invest in our communities and start from there instead of relying on this corporate, you know, system that we have. It's not serving anybody anymore except itself.
Well, that's a very interesting. I hear that from, and I think we've even had a show with them, the transition communities people that believe in essentially just setting a goal and working towards that goal and kind of disintermediating it. If you can't work with the politicians, work around them. You know, wait till they're gone. Just so you know where you're going, keep going in that direction.
The more we brainstorm on solutions, I think we're going in that direction. And the incremental change within the system, that's all well and good in working with the legislature. But more action-oriented stuff, I think, you know, kind of like what you just said, I think those are real positive directions. Anybody can diagram the problem, and I think we hear a lot of that these days.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot, though. Thank you.
John Havlock?
Could I put in a word here, my Republican roots, if you will? But corporations are actually a pretty good form of business development. I've formed, I guess, in my career, probably in the low hundreds of corporations to get things going. It lets people get together to get business going. And business has been the root of our economic growth. There are definitely some big problems that have come up, particularly I think the failure to enforce anti-monopoly laws has been a striking aspect of what's happened in both parties, I might add, in the last couple of two or three decades. So, but they are useful, and they just need to be effectively regulated. You also need to keep the distinction in mind between the closely held corporation and the publicly exchanged corporation. They're very different animals. And again, that sort of strikes me as when you start messing with the idea of the personhood and wanting to get rid of rights for corporations. What are you, you know, what's going on here? Because there's such a broad range of corporations that are involved.
Yeah, we got more calls. And I went, Gershon, do you want to react to that?
Just, yeah, just comment
on the mom and pop aspect here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last time I checked, the Collotti brothers, we're not sending a team of lobbyists down to Juneau, you know, every winter. And
that's interesting you brought that up, because actually Moose's Tooth tried that.
Is that right?
Yeah, they tried that.
Free
get anywhere.
Pizza or something? Or?
No, because of the brew pub rules. Restrictive. They couldn't. Their business couldn't grow. They did try to go the political route, and it ended up just totally didn't work for them.
Well, and generally speaking, you know, the mom and pop, you know, the locally owned corporations are not doing any of the things that are of a concern. Basically, they're not the ones bringing in the lobbyists. They're not the ones trying to control elections. So there's a real distinction.
Well,
I'm not
there's
speaking
a lot of
against
mom and
the
pops and
the
Support Industry Alliance and some of these trade associations that just have a lot of small businesses in, and they want the jobs, they want the economic development. They're glad to have some outfit that's spearheading for, you know, for the causes they believe in and job creation and so forth. Let's get a couple more in if we can. Charmin in Anchorage, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, and thank you guys for all your work publicizing this issue. The concern I want to bring in, I guess you touched on it when you were talking about the Hobby Lobby case and the question of religious rights for corporations. I mean, who is the corporation? Is it the CEO? Is it the shareholders? Is it the board? And even if you can address that question, it seems to me that all these, I've heard it argued that corporations are just assemblies of people and that people have rights, and so they can express those rights through corporations.
Right.
Well, it seems to me that that's double dipping, because you can express your freedom of speech already as an individual, and then if you happen to, you know, be the CEO or board, you can do it again in your corporate persona. And that's not only violating the rights of all the other shareholders and employees in the corporation, but it's double dipping. It doesn't work for me democratically.
Are you saying that the corporations don't have any souls to be saved? Yeah. Hey, Charmin, thanks a lot. That was beautifully argued. Let's try and get one more in from Max in Anchorage. Max, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hey, good morning. My name is Max. Thanks for the call. One of the speakers mentioned lobbyists, and I think, and we've also talked a great deal this morning about what was the concept of some of our laws from back in the day. Well, the reality is we've restricted almost in every state and in the federal government how much a lobbyist can treat a legislator. Take him to dinner, buy him a gift, send him on a hunting trip, get him a new bowling ball, whatever you want to say. There are restrictions on how much a legislator can accept, and the reason is it represents influence. The more generous you can be, the more influence you have. Now, if you take that away and allow the corporation to just give the lawmaker money, any kind of a gratuity, now he's getting it from an individual rather than a business entity, and it doesn't fall under those restrictions, and now the influence is even more obvious,
Max,
that he's buying influence.
Yeah, thanks, Max. Thanks a lot, and thanks for your patience. Thank you to both our panelists, Gerson Cohen. Good best of luck. John Havelock, always a pleasure having you here, and hopefully we'll get back and talk about the Constitution again.
Good to be with you always.
Thank you, Steve.
I want to thank very much Dave Waldron, Tristan Sammons, and Jolene Almendarez. And next week on Talk of Alaska, the business of clean energy. Yeah, business of clean energy. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network.
It's time for the Healthy Futures Challenge. Pull out the jump ropes or go sledding with the family and get out and play. Get moving with activities the whole family enjoys. Find out if your child's elementary school is participating in the Healthy Futures Challenge. Healthy kids are happy kids. Inspire your kids to get out and play every day. For more ways to get active, visit playeveryday.alaska.gov. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.